number one movie in America.
Hi, everybody. It's a bonus episode.
Merry Christmas.
Hi.
Happy all the things.
Happy Hanukkah.
It's our first ever bonus episode.
It is.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. It's great that we have had continued along enough time to have a bonus episode.
I agree. Yeah.
And that we're not forcing it.
No.
Because some people are like, we do a bonus episode for every regular episode. And it's like, calm down. No
Let's
one
relax.
Likes you that much. Since with the year drawing to a close, we thought we would sit down, and as you drive to wherever you're driving to, maybe that's a holiday thing, maybe it's just work, and you want a bonus of your own, you know.
Exactly.
Here's a little extra content, where we're going to review 2019, both in terms of movies from this year, and in terms of what we talked about on the number one movie in America this year. Just to make it crazy, let's do the song first, because it's obvious and there's no suspense. What was the number one song of 2019?
Oh, it's obvious?
Old Town Road.
Old Town Road.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh my, how?
Mila, you adorable new parent, you.
There are squirrels that know Old Town Road.
Somebody had said something to me about their kids singing it at a school or something.
All children know all the
words. And I just kind of nodded and smiled, like, oh, that's sweet.
It's barely a song. It's like a minute 45 seconds. It's a chorus and a verse.
The remix version is 2 minutes flat.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Who's responsible for this?
Lil Nas X is the artist.
Stop it.
20-year-old.
Featuring Billy Ray Cyrus.
I can't. Okay. All right. Now I have some reference now.
Yeah.
I remember that, seeing all that in pop culture.
Honestly, it's a really nice story in a way.
Yeah.
Because he got kicked off the country charts. He was like hovering around the 20s in the country Billboard charts. And they removed it, saying this song isn't country enough. Read, he's black.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Billy Ray Cyrus called him up and was like,
I got you.
Oh, we're going to fix this.
I'm about to country the fuck up out of your song, dude.
And so it ended up, I think they might have put it back on the Billboard, the country charts, but it went to the top of the Hot 100 and stayed there longer than any other song.
Isn't he also gay?
Yes.
He's bisexual.
Okay.
So that's why I love it. I mean, the song is whatever. A bisexual black man has the biggest country hit of the year. Nice. but... Yeah, it's the longest reigning number one song ever. It was number one for
19
consecutive weeks.
Wow. Yeah, I have no idea what's happening in a lot of things.
Well, you know, when you get to the car, just type those words into the anything on the internet and it will start playing automatically.
Like maybe the iHeartRadio app.
It's also a thing. Like, I'm just in a point in my life where I just don't have time for new music. Not even just as a parent, just as over 35. That was my cut. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't want anything to do with it.
I heard there's somewhere where I heard that, like, scientifically, you start to lose the ability to give a shit about new music at like 34, 35. And I try to fight against it. I try to be like, no, what Spotify tell me about the youth? And my girlfriend and I argue all the time because I'm like, Billie Eilish is great. And she's like, no. Billie Eilish is great. Anyway, this is a movie podcast. Since it's a special occasion, I am going to turn over the facts and figures to Faxy herself.
Woohoo!
Here's Robin Hitchcock. I didn't introduce us.
It's the Faxy Takeover!
If they're listening to the bonus episode, they know who we are. All right. So this is my papers rustling. There were.
You used a printer.
It's just so official.
Presuming that Star Wars wins the remaining 2 weekends of the year, which like it will.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then there are 34 number one movies in America.
Okay.
In the year 2019, which is slightly higher than the previous years. The last time there were that many was 2014.
Wow.
Yeah. So previous years have mostly been 32.
Mm-hmm.
So movie theaters are doing a little bit better.
I don't know if that's true. I didn't get the total box office for the year. Okay. Like the amount that all these movies made.
Gotcha.
It's just the number of movies that stay at the top.
Right.
Or
right.
make it to the top, rather. Which might be bad. Maybe movies staying at the top means more money for theaters. I don't know.
The times when it's the most different movies are generally not like really successful years. It's like those years in the early 2000s where like there were 46 because nothing was that big of a hit. So
right.
there's a new one every week. So okay. I think, you know, a number in the 30s reflects a healthy box office
okay.
for the most part.
Okay.
Highest grossing movies of the year, obviously Avengers Endgame.
Clearly. Mm-hmm.
With $858,373,000. That's a lot.
A lot of dollars.
The Lion King, $544 million. Toy Story 4, $434 million.
Sure, why not?
Captain Marvel, $426 million.
Great.
Spider-Man, Far From Home, $390 million.
Acceptable.
That means Disney has all five.
Yeah.
And Star Wars will probably edge its way into there if you include its 2020 gross.
And I think it goes beyond that. I think Disney actually had like the top 7 or 8 spots.
That sounds true. Joker's 9.
Yeah, and then Joker. And I was looking at the full list sometime last week. The crazy thing about that, it's like 1 through 7 or 1 through 8. And then there are two strays. It's Dumbo and something else are like down in the teens.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's nothing. It's not like there's like a little Disney at like the number 32 is Disney and number 26 is Disney. It's pretty much just they release all the biggest movies
right.
and nothing else. So they are just monopolizing
yeah.
the very top of the chart.
Disney has taken over.
It's mm-hmm. kind of scary.
Yes,
it's a little unnerving. All right, we're going to play a game.
Ooh.
Ready? Ooh. This is called Did It Go to Number One?
Okay.
I really should be good at this.
You might be very good at this. All right. First, Dumbo.
Yes.
No.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Next, Dark Phoenix.
Yes.
No.
No.
Jesus.
Shazam! Exclamation point.
Yes.
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 Mm-hmm.
Rocket Man.
Whew, that's tough.
It
was the summer. I say no.
Correct. No.
Okay.
One more. Ford v Ferrari.
Please no.
Yes.
It probably did.
It did.
Yeah. Okay, boomers.
Right.
So overrated.
That's my fun game.
That is the overrated. Most, I mean,
I actually kind of liked it. I had to okay boomer myself. Like, it's not good, but it's very watchable.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'll throw it in there this weekend.
Christian Bale is charming.
I enjoy Christian Bale. It's just the offset of Matt Damon.
You're going to want to punch this Matt Damon more than normal.
He's not like the most likable person in the movie.
He's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
It was extra Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Disney does also have 6, Aladdin, and 7, Frozen 2. Frozen 2 will probably move up. It will have another. So after Star Wars, it'll have the top 8. Followed by Joker and It Chapter 2.
Wow.
Wow, wow, mm-hmm. wow. Okay, next thing for you to speculate on, what were the highest number 2 movies in America? Movies that did not go to number 1.
Now I'm looking at a list of 2019 films, so I don't know if that should disqualify me.
I don't think it does.
I don't know. I can't even think of anything. Movies that went to number 2. I don't even know what's...
Did Aladdin go to number 1?
Oh, Aladdin yeah. did go to number 1.
So we got Aladdin, Shazam. Oh, I know. I will pull out my happy letterbox.
Maleficent?
Oh.
Maleficent went to number 1. That was it. That was one of the runners-up for the game.
The highest grossing number 2s of the year.
I can bring out some clues.
Give me a clue.
All right, one of them, the biggest non-number 1 weekend of the year was $54 million. It was the third week of Avengers reign.
So something that came out 3 weeks after Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
God, what else was going on?
Family-oriented, but a nostalgia thing.
Pet Sematary?
Nope.
The family. I mean, also it is oriented towards the family. The family is being killed, but it's oriented towards the family.
And it's nostalgic.
And based on a video game.
Oh, wait, no, that's not...
What?
Not the one...
Not Jumanji? What?
The answer is Pokemon Detective
Pokemon
Pikachu!
Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Which was fine.
Yes.
It's not, you know, I'm not telling anyone they have to run out and see it, but it was cute. All I wanted after Pokemon Detective Pikachu was like a Disney nature movie about Pokemon. Like, I didn't want a plot. I wanted to follow like flocks of
Pokemon.
Travel in flocks
in their natural habitat. Some
of them. There was a bunch of Squirtles were hanging out together and Bulbasaurs. Do I only know Pokemon from 20 years ago? Yes, that's...
You're one up on me. I know a Pokemon.
You know, science shows that you lose the ability to care about Pokemon, when you turn 35.
What are the other number twos?
The next one in the list is an R-rated film that is very long, but isn't on Netflix. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
What was it behind? You serve up the next one, and I'll find the answer to that.
I want to say The Lion King, but I'm not sure if that's true. Next on the list is hovering around my top five. I haven't decided what goes in the five slot in my top five yet.
Oh, my.
But I think I'm leaning towards this one. Also, the highest grossing film, other than Frozen 2 and Captain Marvel, which have female co-directors, the highest grossing film this year with a solo female director, I believe.
You were correct that The Lion King is what kept Quentin out of the number one spot. A female director.
Getting a little bit of Oscar buzz.
It's not.
Is it a number two?
It's a number two.
It's definitely
not Queen and Slim.
Nope.
It's definitely not Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Nope. Oscar buzz in the supporting actress category?
I definitely don't.
Hustlers.
Know. Hustlers. I forget that it has a female director because there's so many butts in it.
That's true.
Yeah.
But they are not objectified butts.
I am just surprised that this has so much Oscar buzz.
It's good.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
It's hovering around my top five.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, but it's just, I mean, I don't know. Oh, what's constant? Okay, well, I guess we'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
I had Jennifer Lopez on my ballot, and I have far too many opinions on on-screen nudity, but here's one of them. Don't do that thing where all of the famous people are not quite naked, and then there's extras on the edge of every scene that are totally naked. It's like, here's four boobs you don't know because we're not going to show you Jennifer Lopez's boobs. Either everybody or nobody. Like, you have to.
That's a really interesting point that not something I would have thought of, but I agree with you.
Right.
It just be consistent. Like, if you don't want to have nudity in your film, that's fine.
Right.
But don't like have like background tits to like make up for the fact that you're not.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
Although I do, I would just like to point out when Lopez came on screen, I was like, damn, girl, she's like 50 something?
She's turning 50 this year.
I said that in the theater, like, is that her? Is that her butt? Like now?
Absolutely.
The greatest butt of all time.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
With due respect to Chris Evans.
America's ass is what it is.
And then the next one, there's a piece of merch related to it on this table.
The Addams Family.
The Addams Family. Mm-hmm. And the last one was one of the clues in the Did It Go to Number, or one of the prompts in the Did It Go to Number One game.
Rocket Man?
Rocket Man is correct.
Rocket Man.
I did have one other stat here, and I printed this before I pasted it in, and now I don't remember. I was going to find out which one of the number ones had the lowest total gross.
Oh.
Oh, if we hold for a second.
Let's have Sean find that out.
Yeah. Stupid new Box Office Mojo.
I gotta say that, so in preparing the Faxy segment this week, I found new respect for Sean Collier. And I already have so much respect for
Thank
Sean
you.
Collier.
I'm sure it was a lot of work.
It first of all, it's quite a bit of work. But secondly, the Box Office Mojo redesign is
awful.
A true crisis.
Is it?
It's really one of the worst I've ever seen, and a lot of it is them just obnoxiously putting things behind a paywall, I guess.
What?
But I assume it's just the interface is confusing.
Yeah, it used to be that you could click on like everything was clickable, and if it's like if you're looking for 1995, you click on 1995 and it takes you to the top movies. If you're looking for whatever it is, and that not only did they hide a lot of it, a lot of it is just gone.
Wow.
So I am left relying on Wikipedia. Glass won a weekend with $9.5 million.
Oh, I specifically meant total gross, but I am interested in this also.
Right.
Like the lowest grossing movie that went to number one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to find that quickly.
Yeah, there's no way to find that quickly.
The lowest winning total of 2019 was the third weekend of Glass, which won the weekend with $9.5 million. I can't believe that Glass was a number one movie, period.
Because of it was a follow-up to Split.
Yes.
Which was a big hit, right?
Right.
Split was a fairly big hit, but the
and
story...
And also the other one.
The story around Glass was, man, is Glass a letdown after Split.
Oh, absolutely. So, and I didn't even like the first one. I liked Split.
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable.
So can't believe that it was at number one for 3 weeks. It won its third weekend ahead of The Upside's fourth weekend. The Upside also went to number one. And that was the week of Miss Bala, the movie with...
Yeah.
Jane the Virgin.
I fell asleep during the original version of Miss Bala.
Oh, this is a remake.
Mm-hmm.
Of a foreign language feature. That's a little bit of the top films of 2019.
Yeah, that's the Faxy segment. Those are the facts.
Good facts. If Robin's Faxy, I must be opiniony. Camila, what does this make you?
I'm just here. I'm just happy to be here, guys.
Let's discuss our top films of the year. And we'll start with Camila and then work our way around the table.
I'll be snarky.
Okay. Faxy, opiniony, and snarky.
Ooh, I like
snarky
that.
Smurf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be Smurfs. I have 10 because I can't settle.
Okay.
But if
got
you
five
is fine. I'll say 10 through 6 quickly. Camila, your number 5 film of the year.
Oh, okay. I didn't put these in rank these in order, but let me just really quickly do. All right. My number 5 would probably
that
be
that do would have taken me a month. Go ahead.
I'll say my number 5 was Knives Out.
Oh yeah.
It was
very enjoyable.
Yeah, it was an enjoyable film, but I thought it was a little too long. Like there were
that describes like almost everything.
Right,
everything
exactly. A lot of things for 2019. Mm-hmm. Or it was a great film.
Yeah.
It was like 30 minutes shorter. But yeah, like it was a great ensemble cast and the acting, and there was like I liked the dark humor that was throughout it, and just again, like I had said before on the podcast, how I enjoy, you know, the tales of the dysfunctional families. And
yeah.
I'm literally going to see it right after we finish this.
Great. Yes. And original, not based on anything.
Right.
A fresh property for adults. There's only
exactly.
So many.
Number 4, I will see Dr. Sleep.
Impressive.
I'm glad that you liked it that much.
I really did. Like, I am literally, like, counting off the days where I can watch it again. And, like, I'm excited to see it again. And again, like, a little too long. But, a lot of great performances, and I just really enjoyed it, the story. Number 3, I would say, is a documentary, Horror Noir.
Oh, yeah, I loved it. I liked it a lot.
Which was just a great and like really in-depth story of the history of blacks in horror, in the horror genre and film. And
and a good reason to get that trial subscription to Shudder.
Yes,
and you'll
exactly.
You'll probably stick around if you do.
And you'll just be like me and forget that you haven't and keep paying for it. It's like, oh yeah, I've got Shudder.
It's like $5.
Right, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But that's also how I have Audible for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. That's the entire business model of SiriusXM. We can talk shit on them because we're in a terrestrial radio
right.
studio. They're only there because people forget that they still have it in their car and it's coming out of their Visa every month.
Number 2 is American Son, a Netflix film, which was originally a Broadway play starring Kerry Washington about an interracial couple who are separated. Their son is picked up by the police, and this just all takes place in the police station in like one scene, one setting, and it's just really emotion and dialogue heavy, and it's just a really great film.
Mm-hmm.
And number 1 is Us. Because it's Us. And I saw that bitch 3 times in the theater.
Yeah.
And probably watched it like 15 more since. So, yeah, I mean, I know. And Us is one of those movies, like, I enjoyed it so much. And I really loved everything about it. Except I couldn't let myself think too hard about a lot of the plot points. And
that
because some of that stuff comes untangled.
So that's part of the reason it's in my honorable mention section.
Right. And
I'm
just like, you know what?
I don't know if they stuck the landing.
I know. I'm just like, you know what? Don't think about it too hard. Just take me on this journey.
Remind me to bring in the coffee table, the Us coffee table book they sent.
Oh, my.
Because you can't have it because I love it too much.
Okay,
but,
that's fine.
That's
fair.
It's just each page is like an object or a costume for the film, and then there's just a little bit about the significance of it, and half of them were things that I had never considered before.
Wow.
Like there's, they show the whack-a-mole machine where her dad's playing whack-a-mole when she wanders off, and it's like, whack-a-mole, a game where creatures from underground try
holy
to come
shit.
Up.
Wow.
And,
yeah, and that's another thing about, like, this. It's like a bunch of Easter eggs throughout the film. Yeah. And, you know, that's, for example, and there's just, like, a whole bunch of them, and I kept finding a bunch of different things. And, like, that first, the first, like, 5 minutes that you're there, the close zoom in to the television screen, like, you're looking at all the stuff, like, all the VHS tapes that are out there, and, like Chud,
right?
For one. And so...
And the Hands Across America.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And also, like, that's just... Another that was a time period that I was very much alive, and a lot of that was stuff. I was like, yeah, I remember. Like I was in fourth grade, I think, when the Hands Across America happened, and I always had a lot of questions about the.
I'm still confused about that. That's on the very long list of things that I learned about from The Simpsons.
Oh, really? Yeah.
There's like a 1 second Hands Across America joke, and I remember...
Despite large gaps in the Western states, a great success.
And I remember being like, wait, what? And my dad being like, okay, so...
Right. So this is a thing that happened, and yeah. So yeah, and it was just another... and speaking of, you know, the history of blacks in horror, it was great to see a fresh take on... seeing a black family in a horror film and like directed by Jordan Peele, and I'm excited to see like what else he's going to do, like the Twilight Zone series. I didn't finish it, but that was also amazing. So, you know, I'm really proud of Jordan.
His Candyman is next year.
I'm super stoked about that. I hope some different stuff is taken with the story as opposed to the original one.
But... I just hope he makes a movie every year forever.
Like, yes.
Please keep your
forever
energy
and
up.
Ever. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And that's my top five for 2019.
I will go and we will throw it back to Robin to make the definitive list. I'm not going to list my 11 through 20, which I also have, but let's start at 10.
Are they
going
to go on the magazine?
They'll,
or the website?
The magazine? That's,
what? That's, Pittsburgh
I
magazine.
I write for a magazine.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, on PittsburghMagazine.com. Now, if you're hearing this, there's at least my top 10 of 2019 is up, and later this week I'll try to do a top 10 of the decade, which
feels dumb.
My top 10 of the decade is Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse, and Carol, and then, I don't know, 8 other movies.
Yeah, mine has Interstellar and Suspiria and Get Out, and then I don't know. It's I mean, because there are things that I had at number one that I'm like, that wouldn't make my top 10. And there are things that were I didn't give a 10. Get Out, I gave a 9, I think. And now I'm like, that's definitely one of the best movies of the decade. Mm-hmm. So it's things move up and down, including some of the things on the following list. My number 10 is Parasite. I like it a lot. It's just crowded at the top. I have The Irishman at 9, and... It's 9 and it likes it. Like, it's very good. It's one of the top 10 movies of the year. I don't know why some people are like, this is the rebirth of, no, it's just a good
movie. It likes it. Also, I would just like to point out, if you've been paying attention to this podcast, I have not seen a lot of films 2019, so.
Well, that makes it so that we have a variety. It's great. I have Little Women at 8. I have Ad Astra at 7. It has sunk from 1. Like, when I saw that, it was my number one movie of the year.
Really?
And I just keep, like, it probably wasn't as good as I thought. It's also Robin's Nightmare, a sad astronaut movie about daddy issues. So it's
literally my least favorite.
Yeah. I have The Farewell at number 6, so my top 5. I have Us at 5. Mm. As Ad Astra has been... sinking, Us has been climbing, where I think I gave it a 9 rather than 10 when I first saw it because of that ending,
right?
But it's one of those things where I have to hold myself to the standard of not caring about the plot too much,
right?
Because like I fundamentally believe that what happens in a movie is less important than how it happens. Maybe Us didn't quite stick the ending, but everything about how it was made is so good.
Oh yeah.
I have 1917 at 4. This is the first
Camila made a face.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
A what face?
This is the first.
A lot of people don't know what that is. Yeah,
this
that's
is the
gonna
first,
be its problem.
Yeah,
I'll just hop on IMDb right quick.
This is, I think, the first time I'm talking about it because it's like limited release Christmas Day, wide release early January.
Oh, okay.
It's Sam Mendes, who directed American Beauty, a World War I movie that looks like it's all, but it's an action movie. It's my number four movie of the year. It's one of those where it looks like it's one shot real time. Okay. So there's these two young soldiers who have to get a message to stop a thing before everyone gets slaughtered, and we just follow them in real time.
I just saw that trailer.
Birdman goes to war.
I forgot that Birdman was one shot. Or ish.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
And it's not even allegedly. Like, they're not pretending. One
shot. Yeah, yeah.
Except for without all the zooming in on people's backs.
The effects are amazing. The performances are amazing. I expected to make that noise while I was watching it, and I was at the edge of my seat. It's fantastic. Okay. Number three is The Last Black Man in San Francisco. Early in the year, I haven't gotten back to it, but I really, really loved it. It's different. It's powerful. It is a story that is not replicated anywhere. There's no gentrification movies. Like, there's movies about all kinds of current social strife. This was the first, like, meditation on communities being pushed to the edges, and I really, really loved it. I have A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood at number two. I feel bad about that to a degree because it looks like I picked the Pittsburgh movie about Mr. Rogers, but I was really blown away by it.
It's a good movie.
I thought everything about that screamed that this is going to be tacky and a tearjerker and, you know, very, very saccharine. It's not that at all. It is so deftly handled and such an interesting way to tell a story about Mr. Rogers that isn't really about Mr. Rogers.
You know it's a good movie when it's about daddy issues, and I still like it.
Oh, it's about
men's difficulty accessing their emotions,
right?
Which is why daddy issues exist.
Yeah, but it's nice to talk about that because it's a big problem in the world forever.
True. Yes.
And my number one movie of the year is Marriage Story. Nothing was close.
Wow.
Like everything on this list has kind of moved up and down, except Marriage Story has been number one from the moment I saw it.
Wow.
I just think that there are 50 movies like this. There are 50 like kind of domestic postmodern takes on divorce and what are relationships in the 21st century. They all have problems. This one has none. This is the one where everything went right.
Huh.
Absolutely loved it. Robin feels differently.
I think it's fine. I enjoyed watching it. Mm-hmm. I think it's very well done. It's not in the genre of I'm going to make a movie about my own divorce. It's no Mother! Exclamation point. Which I love, and Sean feels
so
differently.
Much better than Mother! Exclamation point. We nearly derailed a party last night.
We really almost came to blows.
There's like six people who were just having a nice time, and now they're watching me and Robin argue if Mother or Marriage Story is better.
Mother is better, or like even this is me literally repeating what I said to Sean at a party last night. Like Annie Hall, like Woody Allen, Hannah and her sisters, like, here's why I suck at relationships. I like that better, as much as Woody Allen is gross.
Now,
like,
this made me feel better about losing Woody Allen, because it's like, oh, good, we don't need him anymore. Okay. Because this
we don't need him anymore.
Well, no, we definitely didn't need him anymore. This is what he did for this century and a little better than most Woody Allen movies.
I think Kramer versus Kramer is better. Kramer versus Kramer is an underrated movie.
I haven't seen it.
It's one of those movies that people are like, one of the worst Best Picture winners. And I'm like, that's because it's about girl stuff.
I also really like that there are more movies that are going, we're all the genres, we don't care. Like, that's the case for Parasite as well. And Marriage Story is, you know, a comedy, drama, satire, romance. Like, it's
if it were
very
just a comedy, I think I'd like it so much more. The funny scenes were my favorite parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I'll say about Marriage Story is it was impossible for me to feel sorry for Adam Driver's character, who was the greatest monster in the history of cinema.
His character?
Yes. And I'm exaggerating, but I was mad at him throughout the whole movie. During the screaming scene, I became madder than I've ever been in an actual fight that I've ever had.
Wow.
It's,
I gotta watch this movie. I've tried to
watch
it like three times, but I kept getting interrupted.
But that's a success if you felt that
yes,
way.
Yes, and and that's why I'm like, it's a good movie. And I understand why it's not necessarily you, Sean Collier's number one, but why it might be someone's number one.
Mm.
I just think it has problems.
So it will not be in the following 10 movies?
It is not.
Okay.
I have 9 written down.
Did I do the assignment wrong?
No, we're just nerdy overachievers where I have a list of the currently 137 movies I've seen this year. So I don't want to limit myself.
Okay. So I do want to say, like Camila was saying, even though I don't have a baby at home, but I saw fewer movies this year than I normally do, just because it's been a hectic year for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I used to also keep a spreadsheet of every movie that I watch, like Sean. And last year, I ranked them as I went, which I stopped tracking my movies because I was too busy to even do that.
You should use Letterboxd.
I do use Letterboxd, and that is how I made this list.
That's how I made mine as well.
So anyway, I'm going to say here are five movies that can sort of be tied for my number five slot.
Okay,
can we say that?
Yeah, that's fine.
So that's how I'm doing a list of nine. First, as mentioned, is Hustlers, which I just found so incredibly enjoyable from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And that is another movie where I'm like, oh, this has flaws. Right, and yeah. I am fully aware of them and yet don't care.
Interesting.
It's one of those movies for me where I was just enjoyed it so much. See also John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum also in this honorable mention list. Little Women.
Yeah.
At one point, that was in my top five with a bullet, and then I started doubting it.
Hmm.
The Irishman.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's honorable mention, and it likes
it. Likes it. It's fine.
And Us, which also was very close to being in the real top five. Okay. Mm-hmm. The remaining top four. Number four, Pain and Glory.
Mm. It's really good.
I loved it in the moment, and it's one of those movies that like stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could not stop thinking about it for the next few days.
Wow.
So... That's pretty rare for me, really. Yeah. Like, I'm often very, like, I love movies, but I often sort of consume them and then they're gone.
Right.
But this was a movie that stuck with me. Next is Blinded by the Light.
I should still watch that.
You should watch it.
That is not one of the 140 films I've watched.
It is everything that I love about movies. Oh, it made me feel things. There's a lot of Bruce Springsteen music in it.
It helps.
I went on a date with Colin when we saw it, and it was one of those things where it was just like we both had a really good time. I don't know. Love that movie.
I remember you saying when it came out, like, this is currently my number one of the year, and I was like, I bet that'll drop.
It did drop behind the other one that I announced on this podcast was currently my number one of the year, which is Her Smell in the number two slot. Boy, is there ever a movie that was made just for me?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and not a lot of people have seen it, so feel free to pitch it.
Please watch Her Smell.
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon, which I didn't know, which means I'm going to watch it later.
Mm-hmm.
It's Elizabeth Moss as essentially Courtney Love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she... It's set, it sort of does the Steve Jobs.
And so I was about to say, structure. It's the better version of the Steve Jobs movie.
Right.
Where so it's like just like a couple
pivotal moments in her life. Or not even pivotal,
illustrative moments in her life.
Illustrative is the right way of putting it. Mm-hmm. And she is just a powerhouse. And it's one of the best portrayals of addiction and mental illness that I think I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And. She, because it's these different scenes in her life, like she plays different stages of being in addiction and recovery, and it's just so moving and so well done. All the supporting characters are really good, and some of them are models.
Oh, wow.
And
some of them are like deep in the roster of a Netflix show, but you'll recognize them. Like Zan Phippi from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And Sheila the She-Wolf from Glow are both key supporting characters.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know who those people are, but I believe you.
Yeah.
And Virginia Madsen. Love her.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, great movie. You should watch it if you haven't.
You should.
And then my number one is Parasite.
Oh.
Yeah. Which,
like, it's bookended those there.
Yeah. I don't think I would have expected that when I first saw it, but I think that is the movie that surprised and excited me the most this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, of all the movies that I really loved, I think that it is the best done. It won.
Yeah.
You know, like the difference between favorite and best.
Mm-hmm.
That one gets best points.
Okay.
Those are three excellent choices. If you're like, I want to see the best stuff of the year, and you pick our three number ones, Parasite, Marriage Story, and Us, you're doing pretty well.
I agree.
I would also like to throw in I have three honorable mentions.
There we go.
Three, like, just
good.
To make it,
yes.
Just to make me feel like I'm part of the team. I have If Beale Street Could Talk. am.
That's technically 2018.
Is it?
Yes.
But it's still great.
You're
and
right.
Not
you're
that
right,
many
but
people
I,
saw
I
it.
I saw it in January. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Same. Yeah. Because they like refused to let Pittsburgh see it.
Right.
They were like slowly releasing it in every mid-sized city in the country except for Pittsburgh. It's like Buffalo got it.
Well, that was
I was really bitter at
that.
That
was my number two or three of last year. It's excellent.
Yes. The scene with Brian Tyree Henry, he's talking about being imprisoned.
So good.
Mm-hmm. That was my favorite part of the entire film. And mm-hmm. just aside, it was just a beautifully shot. It was like poetry on celluloid. And Queen and Slim, which again, like I loved everything about that film, except maybe the story that was told. Like,
yeah.
I like the way the story was told. I love like the direction choices were great. The cast was great. The acting was amazing. The writing, the dialogue, just even just like the tricks of how they told the story.
Mm-hmm.
But just the story in itself, I'm like, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And this is just a little rando out of nowhere. Escape room.
Oh, fun.
I
liked it a lot more than I thought I would. And
I had fun. I watched.
It was a really fun.
I watched it at a drive-in on the outskirts of Phoenix in a double bill with, what was that Matthew McConaughey movie with a horrible twist?
Serenity.
Oh,
and yeah.
I enjoyed it.
It had a similar ending to the play I wrote last year, and I was like, yeah, a zeitgeist. See what's happening.
Really?
That's not interesting to anyone but me. So...
I found it interesting.
Those are all movies worth watching. Before we get out of here, because this bonus episode is rapidly approaching the length of a normal episode.
Oh, wow.
Here are the, by the numbers, what we liked and didn't like in the first year of the number one movie in America. I'll again start with Camila. Your number one movie of the year was Ocean's 11. You gave a 91.
I stand by it.
It's a good choice.
Yeah.
Second place was a tie. You gave both Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and While You Were Sleeping 86.
I feel like a little high on Guardians.
But... I agree.
Oh, we'll get to that. Your worst film of the year was Private Parts, which you gave a 12.
Stand by that wholeheartedly.
Followed by Elysium, you gave a 15, and The Sum of All Fears, you gave a 21.
Yep.
Robin, your number one movie of the year was School of Rock.
Tight.
She gave a 93. 93 is the highest score we have ever heard.
Holy
that is
cats.
The highest number that has been uttered on this podcast.
I said 387 million earlier.
Well, you know what
I mean.
I
know what you mean.
Which is only one ahead of your score for Ocean's 11, which was a 92. Your third was What About Bob? ? Which you gave an 88. Your worst film of the year was Halloween 2007, the Rob Zombie version. You gave it a 4 out of 100.
Oof.
That is the lowest score we have ever received. Followed by Divergent, you gave a 12. Elysium, you gave a 20. I peaked out with Scrooged at 82.
You peaked at 82?
We haven't seen...
Okay.
So we haven't... No, I don't think we've seen a movie that's better than 82 this year.
Wow.
This
it's
is
a Russian judge.
You guys know it's nostalgia.
Hey, maybe we'll see what we draw in 2020. I also had a tie for second. I gave both Guardians and Ready Player One a score of 80. My worst movie of the year was also Halloween, which I gave an 8. Then Oh God, You Devil, I gave a 28. And While You Were Sleeping, I gave a 33. That means here are our... Let's start with our worst movies, shall we?
Yes.
Let's count them down. Our fifth worst was Oh God, You Devil at 35 and a third.
This is the aggregate score?
Yes, these are the aggregate scores. George Burns, we don't get it. our fourth worst was Invasion USA. Apologies to... racist, xenophobic ass Chuck Norris, 31 and two thirds. Our third worst was Elysium, 27 and a third. If I hadn't propped that up with a mediocre rating, it could have been our worst. Divergent, our second worst film, 22.75. And easily our worst film of the year, Halloween, 15.67. That is the low mark to beat. Our best films of the year, at number five, Child's Play. With an average of 74.
We were all surprised by that.
I would not have seen that coming.
No.
Like, even for myself.
No.
I would have been like, yeah, it's okay. It's fun.
Exactly.
And then you watch it, and
it's
you're like,
really good.
This is well done. Our fourth highest ranked is School of Rock. Thanks to Dan for having us watch it. 78 for School of Rock. Mm. Scrooged, just ahead of it, 78.33 was Scrooge.
Wow.
And second place, 78.5, is What About Bob? Our number two and number three picks of the year were Bill Murray comedies from the same era, and they are separated by less than 0.2 of a point.
Does that mean Tony Goldwyn is no longer our patron saint? Is it now Bill Murray?
No, it can still be Tony Goldwyn.
Okay. I think it, honorable mention. And when, he likes it. When,
and the number one movie of our first year easily was Ocean's 11. Yes. We gave an 87.
And shiny suits and snacks.
It's just a fun movie to watch. A few fun facts before we go, now that I crunched these numbers. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is in both my top three and Camila's top three, but it did not rank among our best movies of the year because Robin sank it so damn hard.
Don't like that movie.
I gave it an 80. Camila gave it an 86. Robin gave it a 49.
Damn.
However,
that was generous of me.
Robin came within this thing where Robin keeps nailing the aggregate score. Her correct opinion is the group consensus. Robin has landed within 5 points of the average score 12 times.
Damn.
She came within 2 points 7 times.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Kind of crazy voodoo.
You're just right about things.
I think it's being basic.
Here are the biggest disagreements of the year. Sum of all fears. There were 44 points between my score of 65 and Camila's score of 21. GoldenEye, there were 50 points between Robin's score of 77 and Camila's score of 27. Hey, Camila doesn't like 90s action movies, everybody.
We're about to find out some more.
But the biggest difference of the year is While You Were Sleeping, which Camila gave an 86 and I gave a 33. A 53-point difference. It is the only movie that is in a top three and a bottom three that for
makes
our
me,
year.
That makes that sounds a little more basic. Like what my those stats 80, for me right here. Is
the, giving a middle of the road Sandra Bullock rom com yes. an 86,
an extreme mediocre Sandra Bullock.
And the most agreeable movie of the year was Ant-Man, which Camila and I both gave a 73, and Robin gave it a 70. We all went, yeah, sure.
And that's the best way you can describe Ant-Man.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty good. Cool.
And with that, our vetoes are restored.
Yay!
From here on out, we can decide not to watch things. Any other thoughts as we wrap up 2019?
It's been fun, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
I know. Yes, I very much enjoyed spilling my opinion on random movies, that some that I've seen a bunch of times, some that I would have never, ever seen.
Yeah.
Let's keep going until we have a compelling reason to stop.
Yes.
Thus, making us in line with all other podcasts.
Number one movie in America.